Testament to the Psalms, Psalm 23. We are continuing our sermons in series from the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, this morning we want to consider in depth verse 5. Psalm 23. With your Bibles open now, I'd like for you to read aloud with me the entire Psalm 23. It is so meaningful to the Christian. The choir is just saying there's a new name written down in glory. And my friend, if your name is written down in glory, then you have the right to come with David and to sing this song found here in the Word of God, Psalm 23. So let us read together, if you will, with me this portion of God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For these weeks now, we have been considering the fact that as God's child, we can live without fear. What a joy it was to my heart this morning to hear one of our dear ladies talking about how that at one stage in her life that the devil had her cowed down with fear. And now that in Christ Jesus that there is a liberty, a victory, that she is enjoying and thanking God for day by day. Another one recently shared with me how that in a particular experience of life that recently, or just not long ago, that fear would have had the victory over her. But now there is a new life and a new joy and a victory which is unexplainable in except the fact that Christ Jesus has become Lord in all of her life. And oh, friend of mine, listen, God intends for you to enjoy the fullness of His Spirit and the victory over every experience of life. God will grant this to you as you rely on Him totally. So as we consider these things today, I trust that the Lord will make them so live in you that you'll be able to face every day and do so with the knowledge that Christ Jesus, who lives within you, who is Lord of your life, is going to assist you in all of the ways of your being, that His name will be glorified and that your name might be rich and full and meaningful as well as useful to God and to the community in which you reside. So let's look at this then. First of all, he breaks this down into three parts, and we want to look at them in particular. He says, Thou preparest a table before me. So I want to look then at the table that's set. Then he says, Thou anointest my head with oil. Then I want us to see the welcome that is extended. And in the last place he says, My cup runneth over. And we shall discuss together the blessing received. The table set. The welcome extended. The blessing received. The table is set. Now here is a good, down-to-earth expression that all of us are conversant with. All of us at our home know what it means when the table is set. When I was a boy growing up, we had one of those great long tables that all big families have to have in order to get along. We didn't have many chairs around the table. And chairs were at the two ends and up one side. And then there was a bench on the back side of the table where all of the children would sit And when you finally got old enough to graduate from the bench to the chair, you were really something. And about the only way that you could, though, is that one of the others had got older and married and moved away, then you could move around to a chair. But it was a big day when we finally got to sit in a chair around our table. But all my mind goes back ever so often to those days in our home when I can see in the kitchen where Mama had set the table. And it wasn't a fancy fare that we had to eat, but oh, it was a good time when we sat down together around the table to enjoy the blessings of food together. And it's still a blessing at our house when we are together, whether it be morning, noon, or night, and we sit down together around the table. Quite often I hear my wife say to one of the children, "Go wash your hands and set the table." And they share in the chores of taking the plates and putting them in their space, and then putting the silverware in their place, putting the glasses in their place, and then to watch Mama as she comes and brings the food and sets it in their place. And then to hear her say, "It's on the table. Our dinner's ready. Come and let's eat." And this is what David is saying to us. He says that God has set the table for his children. And you remember Jesus, following the resurrection, those 40 days that he walked here upon the earth before his ascension to heaven, on one occasion met the disciples who had been laboring all night at their fishing nets. And they were tired and no doubt sleepy. And they were hungry from laboring through the night hours. And Jesus meets them there on the beach. And he has a fire going. And fish are cooking on the fire. And bread has been prepared. And as the disciples come then, he says, "Come and dine." And my friends, Jesus is commanding. He is extending to you an invitation to come and sit at the table of God and to dine. Notice that it's God who has prepared this table. This is not food that's good for just a little while and then it's gone. But when God sets a table, he sets it, my friend, so that there is sufficiency and there is food that will satisfy for an eternity. God has prepared the table. He is able to give us everything that we need. One of the names that is given to us for God in the Old Testament is that he is El Shaddai. That means he is the rested one. He is the one to whom we can come and we will find the food that is sustenance for our soul, that will give us the strength for our spiritual being that no one else can give unto us. He is God and he has prepared the table. I see so many people day after day after day who are going around as spiritual midgets. Their growth has been stunted. You look at them, they've been in the church some 10 years, some 30, some 40 years, and they're still little bitty babies as far as spiritual things are concerned. And I want to say, why to God are you still like that? The answer comes back. They haven't been feeding at God's table. Oh, they've been invited to the table, but they have starved themselves, and they are not spiritually grown. And friend, I want you to know, though, that if you are not feeding, it's not because the table is not set. It's because you refuse to eat at God's table. If you're hungry spiritually, it's not because the table is not prepared. It's simply because you refuse to come to the table and to eat. If you're thirsty for things of God and it seems that there is no supply, it's not because there is not the table set, but simply because you refuse to drink. But look at this table. God has set it. And as we come to eat, you know who are the waiters? You know who waits on the table of God? The angel. The Bible says that the angels are given as ministering spirits unto the church. And when we sit down with the Lord, we will find that the angels will come and minister unto us, that they bring to us everything that we have need of, and they will bring to our life everything that we need, whether we know about it or not. Did you know the Bible says that you don't know how to pray? And if you did, you wouldn't know what to ask for. But he still says that we are to pray. But just think about it, that there are times when we come to our knees and we begin to cry out to God, and we look around and already the answer is there. And some say, well, it would happen that way anyhow. But the Bible says that even before you ask, that God will send the angels from glory to bring the answer to your needs. Let me share with you one of the most thrilling things that I've heard in a long time, and it comes from Indonesia, from one of our missionaries who's serving on the field there. And it seems that there was one of these, the children in that missionary home, who was very, very sick. And in this particular part of the country, there were not any chickens. Now that seems strange, since we have so many here, and it seems that they're worldwide. But in that particular place, there weren't any. And this little child who was sick, the only thing that the little girl wanted was a boiled egg. That's the only thing she wanted. They could fix anything else, but because of her sickness, she didn't want anything. But she said, I'd like to have a boiled egg. And that mama, looking on that baby, seeing her need and wondering what in the world she could do, had to find that. She said, Lord, I know that you control all things, but God, here's my baby sick and crying, and the only thing that she wants to eat is an egg, and God, we don't have an egg and don't know where we can get one. But oh God, if you could, would you, Lord, provide an egg for my baby so that she can be comforted, so that she'd eat? Well, that afternoon, she said she had to go into town. She got in her car and started down the road. As she drove along, she had a flat tire. And she stopped the car, pulled over the side of the road, got all the paraphernalia out, and was there trying to change the tire. And finally got it changed and closed the trunk, and as she slammed the trunk down, she looked over at the side of the road in the ditch. And you've already guessed it, already. There was an egg laying there beside the road. A chicken egg. Not a bird's egg. A chicken egg. Now, there wasn't a chicken in the country. But, dear friend, they found an egg. Now, I don't know if God sent it from heaven or if an angel put it there or what. But I believe that God set the table for that mama when she prayed. And oh, to my soul, that we would learn from God how that we can expect these great blessings from Him. God will do all things that we need if we'll trust Him to do so. Not only has He set the table and we're attended by angels, but my friend, His food is fresh daily. God doesn't serve you stale bread. God doesn't give you day-old supplies. God doesn't do that kind of business. His blessings are fresh daily. Let me illustrate. In the Old Testament, we are told of the time when the children of Israel were wandering there in the wilderness. And they were hungry and didn't know what to do. Moses went alone. He said, God, now the people need something to eat. What are we going to do? He said, Moses, you tell the people to go to bed tonight. And when they get up in the morning, there'll be bread there on the ground for them. But tell them just to get enough for today, or if they get any more, by tomorrow it's not going to be any good. And they woke up the next morning, and there, like a hoar frost, on the ground, on the bushes, there was a heavenly bread. We call it in the Bible, manna. And they got bowls, and they went out, and they started gathering this up. And they gathered up enough, and the family ate it, and it was sweet to the taste, and good for the body. And they had manna. Oh, there were some said, let's get a bunch of this. Man, this is great. And they got too much, they couldn't eat it. But by the next day, it was full of worms, and it smelled bad. And they had to throw it out. It was no good. But as long as they came every day and ate from the manna that God gave them, they had their food, their physical needs supplied. Spiritually, it's the same way. Every day that you live, you need to come to the table of God and feast from the Word and find food for your soul. You need to be cleansed by the Word so that you can live before God in a way pleasing to Him. And my soul, I wonder how many are present in this church house today who for a week or a month or some perhaps longer have not feasted from God's table. No wonder. No wonder. You never go. No wonder. No wonder you never have strength, because you've refused to eat from the table of God. Some of you are still trying to get by on an experience that you had 10 years, 20 years ago. Some of you are still trying to get by on what happened to you when you Because God gives fresh daily those things that we need. All right? The table is set, and it's fresh food daily. God feeding his own, doing what is needed. You remember when Jesus saw the multitude, and he saw them hungry, and the disciples said, Lord, what are we going to do? Why, there's too many of them. We don't have any food. We don't have any money to buy from. They were hungry. The Bible says they were faint from their hunger. What are we going to do? Jesus said, I'll set the table. I like that. He said, I'll set the table. They said, what do you mean set the table? You don't have any food either. Jesus said, look around, see if you can find somebody that's got some. And they found a little boy with some loaves and fishes. They brought that to Jesus and said, this is all we find, Lord. What are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to set the table. Tell them to set down. And he put them down in company. Here was 50, and here was 50, and there was 50. And he said that 5,000, some say as much as 20,000, were seated in that valley floor that day. And Jesus began breaking bread. And he broke fish, and he broke bread, and the disciples passed it out. And everybody was fed. When God sets the table, there's always food aplenty for everyone that will eat. And not only then, you remember the story in the Old Testament of the widow who was fixing to die? She and her son only had enough meal for one little cake. They were going to make one cake, and they were going to eat it, and then they were going to die, the Bible says. And the prophet came by, and he said, what have you got? Fix me something to eat. She said, I haven't got anything. Got just enough meal for me and my son to eat one little cake, and as we eat that, we're going to shut the door and die. He said, fix me one first. Some people say, boy, he sure was selfish. So that's just the way preachers are, always asking somebody to give them the last thing they got. But you see, this is a picture of God in this story. He's a type of God. And he said, give me to eat. And the woman took down, got the meal out, fixed him up to take to eat. And he said, now go fix one for you and your boy. She went back, looked in the barrel, and to her surprise, I'm sure, the meal was still there. And she ate, and her boy ate. And the next day, the prophet and the woman and the boy ate. And the next day, the man and the woman and her boy ate. And they continued to eat, and the meal wasted not, the Bible says. For when God sets the table, there's always enough, day after day after day. The prophet was running for his life. The queen said, I'm going to have him killed. He is stirring up trouble in the kingdom. You see, he had called her by her name. He had pointed sin out. He said, you're guilty before God. He said, we can't put up with that kind of thing. Send the soldiers out. Let's sit. God said, you go over yonder by the brook, and you hide out there. And so he went. And he got hungry. He said, God, what am I going to eat? Got plenty of water to drink, but what am I going to eat? God said, that's all right. I'll take care of it. And he went and found some ravens. Ravens eat flesh, by the way. And he said, those ravens, you get this meat. And you take it over. I've always wondered where those ravens found the butcher shop that they got that meat from. But every day they carried meat over there to the prophet. And he's sitting over there by the river, over by the creek, eating meat, eating high on the hog, and some say, plenty of water, and rejoicing in the Lord. And the queen back over yonder in town wondering how they're going to snuff it out. Let me tell you, friends, when God prepares the table, you don't have to worry about missing the meal. He'll always fix it so that you can get there. I said that to say this. For it's prepared where? In the presence of mine enemies. Now that's the worst place in the world, prepare tables, is in the presence of your enemy. If you're going to fix one, fix it in the house where nobody can disturb you when you sit out eating. But here God says he prepares the table in the presence of the enemy. David knows all about this. David was hunted down like a criminal at one time. He was running for his life, hiding in the caves in the mountainside. And I'm sure that there were many times when David sat in the cave, eating his meal, and he could hear the sound of the soldiers as they went up and down the valley, searching the cave, trying to find him. But God had him safe. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of thine enemies. God says that there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you, my friends, some of the greatest experiences that I personally have ever had with God has been in a time when it looked like the whole world and all of hell was against me, and God
up into my place, he said, come, let me teach you. And he'd give me a spiritual supply that the world didn't know anything about. You remember when Jesus was there by the well and the disciples had been to town? They came back and they said, Lord, we've been to get meat. He said, I've got meat that you know not about. My need is to do the will of God. And my friend, I want you to know that if you're living in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you're seeking from the Word of God the fruit for your soul, if on your knees if you come to God daily for His supply for you, if you're looking to heaven, God will set the table before you, and He'll bless you and keep you and feed you and fill your soul. I'm a food critic to the welcome that is extended. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. In the Oriental days, Oriental times, it was the custom of the people that when a guest came to the house, that they would anoint them with special spicy ointment or oil. You remember the story? Mary anointed the body of Jesus. This was the custom of the time. They kept it in fragile alabaster bottles that were easily broken, and they could put these on the guests that came to their house. Jesus was at the home of Simon, you remember? And he didn't do this, and Jesus rebuked him for it. But here, David says, thou anointest my head with oil. You've made me welcome, God, in your house. You've made me welcome in your family. You've given me a place in your kingdom. My brother, sister, I want you to know that every one of us today ought to have something stirring in our soul right now that will make us want to shout for victory in God. Did you know that God has opened the doors of heaven and He said to you, come on in? Did you know that God has prepared a place on yonder side of heaven, on yonder side of Jordan's River, and He said to you and to me, there's a place for you, come on in. Those who are hungry, come and dine. To the master's table, it's the Lord. Come and dine. We ought to have a shout in our soul because God has made us welcome. The devil says to you that are here today without Jesus, you won't be welcome. Why, just look at you. You're dirty, you're filthy, you're a sinner. Nobody cares for you. Nobody loves you. God don't want you. You won't be welcome. And God sidles over the side of you. Hey, come on in. I got a place for you. You're welcome in the family of God. The black people in this country perhaps have been kicked down as much as anybody. And if you want to find some real spiritual things, go to some of the old Negro preachers and some of the songs that they have. And one of the songs that the slaves sang back many years ago, when they weren't welcome in the master's house, when they weren't welcome with the white folks, when they weren't welcome in a certain group, they had a song that said, there's plenty of room in God's family. There's plenty of room in God's house. Just come on in. Stick out a seat and sit like that. Because you see, they'd go to some folks' house and they weren't welcome in God. They'd go in and they couldn't sit in certain places. But they said, there's coming a day when there won't be any distinction between skin. There's coming a day when there won't be any distinction between our nationality. There's coming a day and a place when God's going to say, come right on in and put right down. I may not be at home in the White House, but I'm at home in God's house, friends. God, give me a place where I can sit down and rejoice with Him. We're made welcome because Jesus anoints us with the oil of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you'll be accepted to God, is to be anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible, you'll find that oil is symbolic of the Spirit. And Jesus was baptized, and He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And He said to you and to me that He will anoint us with His Holy Spirit. When we will trust Him, He comes in, and He makes us clean and preach. And He says, come on in. Come on in. The door's open. Whosoever will, let him come. But finally, we see that He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The blessing received. Or here He says that His blessings are sufficient. Oh, friends, I can't tell you enough that you'll never find the cupboard bare when you go to God's house. You'll never find the table empty when you go to God's table. For He has blessings that are sufficient. Sufficient for every need. Paul, you remember how thorn in the flesh? He went to God and he said, God, now won't you take care of it? But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Some of you have been through great valleys. You've been through great trials. You've been through tribulations that you just looked like couldn't take another step. And you said, God, what am I going to do? And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The blessings from God's table are sufficient. They're sufficient for your needs. They're sufficient for you today. And they're sufficient because God is sufficient. Not only are they sufficient, but they're satisfying. As you come to the Lord, you'll find it here. Blessings are satisfying. I've had folks to tell me, and I've experienced for many years now, that when you come to the house of God, sometimes you come when you're tired, don't you? And you'd a whole lot rather stay at home, sit down in your easy chair and lean back and switch on the TV and just not move, or even crawl in between the sleep seats and just went on off to sleep. But you're tired, but you said, I'm going to God's house. And when you got through with the service, you found the gal in vitality, there was joy and blood over your soul, and you left the place rejoicing in the Lord. That's what God does, for his blessings are satisfied. He'll keep you satisfied all the day long, too, if you're trusted to walk with him and to let him be your Lord. But then let me quickly say, not only is his blessing sufficient and satisfied, but his blessings are given in surplus. In surplus. The book of Matthew says that he will bless us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. David said, my cup runneth over. Surplus. I looked that word up in the dictionary to see what it meant. And I found that it was an abundant supply. But then I checked the etymology, the background of the word surplus, and you know where it comes from? Two words. It comes from the word super plus. Super plus. David says, my cup runneth over. God gives me blessings that are super blessings, and he gives me so many of them that they just keep adding up and adding up and adding up until my cup runneth over. I want to tell you, friend, you may not understand it, but if you ever get a good dose of God, you'll understand it, that he'll bless you till you just can't stand it. Hallelujah. He gives you blessings that are sufficient, and he gives you blessings that are satisfying, but he'll give you blessings that'll flood up in your soul and spill out from the top of you all over your body. Hallelujah for God. No wonder. I believe David was a shouting Baptist if they had him back in that time. For he said, my cup, run it over. Some of you know what it is to get your cup full and to let it spill out in the saucer. And the saucer gets a blessing. And I hope it's always that way with you. Someone said the other day, said, preacher, your excitement, your exuberance, the joy that you seem to have is one of the things that's affecting this family. For they see in you something that they want. Lord of God, that we'll always do. That I would David can say, my son, run it over. If not that way with you, it can be. If you'll let Jesus house all of you, you'll come to the table and feast.